I don't think that a lot of people understand what the word revival even means. We hear the word revival, we may think about, old school church services, where you had weekly night services, and we call them revival. It's a week of revival. My friends, just because we might call a week of services revival doesn't always mean it's revival. Because the word revival has a deep, deep meaning. And we're going to talk about it today, but I want to give you some scriptural background for it. Again, we visit the Old Testament prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 23. I think everybody has the handouts. Hope that those that have been blessing you. And again, I know we have had tons of CD requests for these sermons. We give those out free of charge. We don't charge for those. We believe that if we can get the Word of God in your spirit, that it's worth the expense. And if it can strengthen you and encourage you, we believe it's worth the expense. So you can, if you want any of the sermons and the teachings that we do here at West Point Church, all you have to do is go to the information table, fill out the slip. Those will be duplicated for you, and we'll be ready to pick up the following week. All right, so here's what we read, Book of Joel, chapter 2. He says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Now, we all understand that God's word uses physical illustrations, natural illustrations, to give us truth about spiritual things. This is one of those illustrations. He's talking about crops. He is giving us a farmer's analogy, talking about the former rain and the latter rain. You know that there would be spring rains and there would be fall rains. And all of those rains were necessary to reap the harvest of crops. But the spiritual significance is not talking about crops in the earth. It's talking about a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to define exactly what that means today. All right, look at this one, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men dream dreams, young men see visions. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke," again referencing the day of the Lord. It says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." My friends, can I tell you as a minister of the gospel that my objective and my purpose and my call from God is to get you ready for that day. Anybody who comes into this church, I am not here to tickle your ears. I am here to give you the gospel that will prepare you for the day of judgment that is coming upon the entire human race. The very thrust of the ministers in the book of Acts, they were moved and motivated to preach Christ because he was the only way of escape from the day of judgment. Nobody can save you on the day of judgment. Only Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Look at Acts 4:31. It says, "When they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." So I want to understand the last day's revival. What does it mean? Let's give some definitions. First of all, number one, the word revival is not found in the Bible. But the words revive, revived, and reviving are found 16 times in the King James Bible. These same words occur 30 times in the New American Standard Bible. So to get an understanding of what revival is, we have to go to these root words: revive, revived, reviving, revival. All right, these words communicate our subject matter today and what we're going to talk about and what we are going to define. All right, number two, under understanding last day's revival, there are two Hebrew definitions and two Greek definitions of these words, essentially giving us the same truth concerning revival. These first two definitions are the Hebrew. The second two are the Greek. And you'll notice the similarity of these four definitions. So these are biblical definitions. The first one is to bring life, to recover, to repair, to restore, or to bring wholeness. When you and I come to faith in Christ and we become born again children of God, we step into a revival because He brings us life. He repairs us. He restores us. He brings wholeness into our lives. In other words, He puts us back together because we are messed up. Outside of Jesus, we are all messed up. Can I get an amen? And it's only Jesus who can put us back together. I don't know about you, but my life outside of Christ was pretty messed up, pretty desperate. But when I met Jesus, when I gave my life to Jesus, He put me back together. Hallelujah. And He continues to do His work. You know, I am celebrating this September. This September, I'll be 58 years old. Y'all excited about that? I'm not too excited. I keep rejecting those AARP cards. I said I'll rebuke that devil. They send them to me. It seems like every month I get one in the mail. But this September, you know, I'll be 58 years old, but I will be 40 years old in the Lord. I gave my life to Christ in 1976. That's a long time. Married Becky in 1979. I was 20 years old. She was 18. You know, we raised one another because we did not know anything. She knew a lot more than me. Smarter than I look sometimes. You know, but that's a real milestone. You know, 40 years to know God. And listen, I have never, ever, ever. Man, I mean, it's been awesome. My life in the Lord has been awesome for 40 years because God put me back together. First time Becky ever laid eyes on me, it was love at first sight. I had long flowing hair and I had two black eyes. She said, "That's the man I'm going to marry right there." Right? First time you laid eyes on me, I had long streaming hair and two black eyes. Did I not? But she did not fall in love with me at that point. I wasn't even saved at that moment. My cousin had brought me to a 4th of July church picnic at Becky's father's house, and I still don't know how they got me there without tying me up. You know, but boy, you talk about loss. And that was probably in 1975, maybe 1974. I don't know. You kind of lose track of time. You know, but 40 years in the Lord, 20 years of pastoral ministry. You know, I rejoice in God. You know, in the call of God, and how the Lord has so blessed me and just, man, repaired my life, restored me, made me whole. Because I tell you, I mean, messed up, man, messed up. You know, and everything we see happening today, it's because there's a sin problem. People are messed up. Their lives are messed up, and they need Jesus. You know, they need Him to bring life, to recover, to repair, to restore, to bring wholeness. Here's the next definition: to preserve life, to sustain life, to revive with sustenance. Then the two Greek definitions: to recover life, to live again, then to flourish or to flourish again. You can see the similarity of all of these definitions, that revival brings life. Revival brings people from the brink of death, and it brings them to real life. And that's why Jesus said, "I am come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Under our definitions of revival, number three, the English word revival is derived from two Latin words, re, which means again, vivo, meaning to live. The literal meaning is to live again. When God brings revival, He brings life. People begin to live again. Webster's Dictionary defines revival as an act or an instance of reviving, renewed attention to, or interest in something, such as religion or God. Various ministers of the gospel have given their own definitions of revival. I just chose some that really kind of stood out to me here, and then I put my own at the end of this. Here is some good definitions. One simply says, a visitation of God. The other one by the same minister, Arthur Wallace, says, God breaking into the unconsciousness of men in majesty and glory. Another one is a special season of refreshing when many believers simultaneously experience deep Holy Spirit conviction. Here's another one by Campus Crusade for Christ leader Bill Bright. A sovereign outpouring of the Holy Spirit in which Christians are turned to their first love for Christ. And here is the one that I just kind of jotted down. The Holy Spirit is always moving, doing supernatural works in our lives on a daily basis. But revival is when He does extraordinary things in our lives that are considered special miracles. You know, that's what's so awesome about the Holy Spirit. I mean, He is always moving. The Holy Spirit is never standing still. He's always moving, and He's moving every day. When we preach the gospel, when we show up on Sunday mornings here to declare the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is already here, and He's already moving. Hallelujah. And I appreciate that, you know, because that's the daily ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you wake up in the morning and you begin to have a time in the Lord, you might open the Word of God. You might go to your knees to pray. The Holy Spirit is already moving, and He is ready to meet you in that moment because He's never standing still. But revival, my friends, revival is when the Holy Spirit does extraordinary things in our lives. It's when He goes the extra mile to do above and beyond anything that we could ask or even think. See, that's what revival is. Revival is when God shows up in a mighty, incredible way. Now, we just read in the opening from the book of Joel and the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter, yes, the one who denied Jesus three times, the one who lacked courage, the one who began to curse and swear that I don't know the man. But this same guy went into the upper room for a season of prayer, and God poured out His Spirit in Acts chapter 2. He poured out His Spirit, and that is what we refer to as the former rain. And the Bible says that when the Spirit of God was poured out, that tremendous things began to happen. It was a season of revival. It was an extraordinary move of God, because up to that time, the Holy Spirit had come upon people in the Old Testament, but now He was going to live on the inside of them and empower them and use them as a vessel. Can I tell you, my friends, brothers and sisters here today, that Almighty God wants to use your life? So we understand we're in a spiritual battle because the devil tries to ensnare us. He wants to neutralize our effectiveness. He wants to neutralize our usability as a vessel for God. But I want you to know that that Almighty God wants to empower you and wants to use you. Even Jesus said, I give you power to tread over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I was just looking at a little video clip this morning of a church. I don't know if it was a revival service or just a regular church service, but it was in a Latin American country. And there was a guy. And there was this, first of all, let me tell you, this pastor or evangelist, I don't know what he was. I don't know if he was the pastor of the church, a guest speaker, an evangelist or what. But he was preaching. He was on fire, and he was preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And there was a guy sitting in a chair on the front row of the church service. All of a sudden, that guy got up, and he's moving towards the minister. And he reaches in, and he pulls out a knife. And I mean, it wasn't a little knife. You know, it was like one of those Crocodile Dundee knives. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You know, that's a knife. You know, and he pulled out this knife. His intent was he was going to kill that preacher of the gospel. So he goes towards him, and this was a praying church. All of a sudden, the guy, he just collapses on the floor. He falls back. The power of God hit him, my friends. The power of God hit him. Then all of a sudden, all the church members, then they start gathering around. They're praying over him. You know, they're speaking in tongues. I mean, they're doing all kind of stuff. You know, because, man, this guy was going to kill that pastor or that preacher of the gospel. But the power of God hit him. I got the latest article, Charisma Magazine, Revival in Latin America. I mean, it's the cover story. My friends, God is moving already. We don't see it here in the United States like we see it around the world, because this nation has rejected God, and you and I are the only ones. We are the ones. You know where revival starts? It starts right here. You know where judgment starts? It starts right here. Peter said, judgment must begin in the house of God. And if judgment starts here, Peter said, what is going to be the end if the righteous are scarcely saved? What is going to be the end of the unrighteous and the ungodly? I don't know about you, but that shakes me. That shakes me to my core. We got to know that we know, man, that we are right with God. We are covered in the blood of the Lamb, and our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. We got to know that we know. But I am believing. My hope and my expectation, I see what God's doing around the world. I'm going to preach crusades in Uganda in just about a month now, and I can't wait to go there. But, you know, I'm a little apprehensive because of everything going on in the world. So y'all start praying now. Amen. I want to come back to the United States. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm going preaching some crusades. I can't wait to go do it, because I know God is going to move. God is already moving. He is moving around this world. And you and I, we have to rise up and really begin to walk with God in this hour. And we say, I want revival, and I want it to begin right here with me. Because that's where it always starts. It begins right here with you and I. So let's move on. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of revival? Look at this one, Isaiah 14. It says, this is the purpose that I have purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? There is nobody that can turn back the hand of God. Hallelujah. God is greater. There is nobody. Thank God for 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is inside of you than he who is in the world. So we need to make sure that he's on the inside of us. Amen. Because he's greater. He's greater. So the purpose of revival, God says that his hand will be stretched out upon the whole earth. Look at what Acts 3:19 says. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I want you to know what your pastor prays, and I want you to pray this with me. I pray, God, I believe you that there's going to be in these last days There's going to be such a manifestation of your power, your presence, and your anointing in West Point Church that even before the altar call is given, people are going to come running to these altars, Listen, I've seen it before. I remember in the Assembly of God Church, my father-in-law's church years ago, I remember seeing drunkards and alcoholics, even before the message was finished, even before the altar call was given, they came running to the altar, crying out to God because the conviction was so great. It was so strong. The presence of God was so powerful. They could not even wait. They could not wait one more second. They had to get to the altar and get right with God. My friends, I am believing God that we're going to see that in these last days. We are going to see people come into the house of God, and they're going to be under such conviction. Those who are not right with God, those who are lost sinners, they're going to be under such conviction. They're going to run to the altars, crying out to God for grace and mercy. I believe that day is coming, my friends. In spite of everything going on, I believe that day is coming, because the prophetic word says right here that there are going to be times of refreshing. See, that's revival. It says times. That means a certain season, a certain appointed time. That's what revival is, when God does extraordinary things through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the next thing. Look at this one. A book of Judges. Book of Judges is a very interesting book, because the book of Judges illustrates a time when Israel had totally turned away from God and they had turned to false gods. And this is what we read. It says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. Now, I want you to see something here, because Joshua was the leader who took over after the death of Moses. Isn't that right? It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Then God spoke to Joshua, and he says, I want you to take the mantle of leadership. And Joshua led them. He led them. He was fulfilling the call, the plan, and the purpose of God. And then it succeeded to the generations that came up behind them. And that's why the word says the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So for several succeeding generations, they served God. But then somebody dropped the ball, and then they began to turn away. So the scripture says that those who that served the Lord and those elders who outlived Joshua, they had seen the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. They saw it. Look at verse 10 and 11. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another, talking about the generation of Joshua and the elders, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. I think that could be applicable to the United States. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals. Baal was the Canaanite deity that influenced the Israelites. And it uses plural, Baals, because it was believed that there were many deities. There was the fertility god, and there was the god that was over agriculture, and they had all kind of different deities, and they were all referred to as Baal. We refer to it as the demonic spirit of Baal, because that's exactly what it was. It was a demonic entity that had seduced them. Number three, revival outpourings, my friends, create spiritual momentum to advance the purposes of God personally and corporately. I love this one in Isaiah 59. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come in like a narrow rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives, overwhelming the enemy. Hallelujah. Revival outpourings create spiritual momentum, and the purposes of God are advanced exponentially. And God can do that in our personal lives. You and I individually can have spiritual momentum. Now, football season's about to start. I know y'all gearing up for the Saints' next losing season. Don't throw anything at me yet. Just having a little fun. Last year before the season started, we went to a Mexican restaurant. I think it was either Stephanie was with us or Rachel. And one of my daughters asked me, so how do you think the Saints are going to do this season? I said, I really don't think they're going to do that hot. I said, but I think because of number 9, they will win their share. And Becky said, who's number 9? We were like, what? What? Who's number 9? Y'all remember when the Colts won the Super Bowl? Coach Tony Dungy. We got to hear Coach Tony Dungy speak at a conference we were at in April in Birmingham. Great man of God. I mean, a pure, pure man of God. And I remember riding in the car with Becky, and it was Monday after the Super Bowl. The Colts had beat the Chicago Bears. The sportscaster announced that the first black head coach to win a Super Bowl. And Becky said, you mean there's never been a blonde-headed coach to win a Super Bowl? I said, Becky, the first black head coach, not black-headed. All my stories are true. That one just came out today, Becky. I'm sorry. Oh, my. I guess we got to laugh a little bit with all, you know, everything going on in our world. My goodness. But, man, I want some spiritual momentum. You know, football season, teams go through seasons where, you know, things, they might get on a roll and they get some momentum. You know, a win streak and things are clicking, things are moving. And then all of a sudden they might lose that momentum. You know, same thing happens spiritually. Football teams get momentum because they get on a winning streak. They lose momentum when they get on a losing streak. Same thing happens to you and I. When we win battles, we get momentum. When we lose battles, we lose momentum. See, momentum is a greater empowerment. You know, and this is illustrated in the Gospels, when Jesus went into the wilderness, fasted for 40 days. And the scripture says he was tempted by Satan. The tempter came and began to challenge him. If you are the Son of God, he already knew it. The devil knew it. But he was challenging him. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from this pinnacle. Because it's written, he'll give his angels charge. The devil can quote the scripture too. So because it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus immediately responded, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he took him up on the pinnacle of the temple, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give you all of this, all the power and the authority of it. Isn't that something? Because he was the creator. Shows you how stupid the devil is. He said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, it is written, thou shalt worship. He said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. From that moment on, you go from Matthew chapter 4 into Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus began his great Galilean ministry. He stepped into a greater anointing because he just won a great battle. Hallelujah. Now, we don't always win all of our battles, do we? Sometimes we slip. Sometimes we fall. Even Proverbs says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. Hallelujah. He keeps trying. He keeps moving forward. See, we might lose battles sometimes, but my friends, when we begin to win battles, we step into spiritual momentum, and the purposes of God begin to advance, both in our personal lives and in the life of the local church. So he says, so will they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Because he will come like a rushing, like a narrow rushing stream. And the breath of the Lord drives overwhelmingly the enemy. It is the spirit, the breath of the Lord. It is the word pneuma, meaning the very life of God's breath. In the beginning, God breathed into Adam the very breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. Hallelujah. He does the very same thing for you and I. Here's another purpose of revival. Number 4, revival produces widespread conviction among the lost, and many souls are born into the kingdom. Look at this, Isaiah 33:14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Acts 2:43. It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. There again, Peter is the one who stands to preach on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And he selects his text from the Old Testament prophet, the book of Joel. And he began to quote it. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will have visions. Upon the servants and the maidservants I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He began to preach from the Old Testament book of Joel. And then he said this. After he read that text, he said, this is that. Hallelujah. When he said, this is that, he was making a declaration that this day, beginning at this moment, this prophetic word is fulfilled. And you know what that is, my friends? That is the former rain. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter preaches this incredible, anointed, powerful, sin-convicting message that when he gave the altar call, 3,000 people in one sermon, 3,000 got saved. See, that's what happens when revival begins to unfold. And that, my friends, is the former rain. And the scripture says fear came upon every soul. When there's a move of God, people are going to fear the Lord. There's going to be a fear in their lives because they see the hand of God at work. They see the many signs and wonders, just like that guy that got up with that knife ready to kill that pastor. He was under the control of a demonic spirit, and he was going to try to take that man of God out, but the power of God said, I'm not going to allow him to go yet. Sometimes they go because Stephen was stoned to death. God could have intervened, but he did not. We don't understand all of those reasonings and purposes, my friends. We don't have all the answers for that. Some are delivered, others are not. Even the book of Hebrews says that. Says that women received their dead raised to life again. Some were tortured. Some went out in death with the expectation of a better resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. See, we call it the Hebrews Hall of Faith in chapter 11. Listen, we don't know all the workings of God. Some people are healed, others are not. We're going to continue to believe God when people are sick. We're going to continue to believe God for healing. But it's like Paul said, whether I live for the Lord. Whether I die for the Lord. So if I live or if I die, it really don't matter because I belong to God. And that, my friends, is the most important thing. Hallelujah. Is that we know that we belong to God because one day the books are going to be open. The names will be read. And when we stand before God, we need to make sure that we hear our name. Jesus said, the disciples said, oh, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus, the demons are subject to it. Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. He said, rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, that's what you need to rejoice. Isn't it like human nature? Oh, man, them demons are subject to get all cocky and lifted up. He said, oh, no. He said, rejoice because your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you need to rejoice over. Hallelujah. My friend, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was the initial outpouring of revival that birthed the church and brought in thousands and thousands and thousands of souls and then began to spread around the world. But the prophetic word of God tells us that there is also a former rain. On our last page, the revival of the last days. The scripture declares that in the last days, there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit referred to as the latter rain. Joel 2:23, be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Then look at this. Here's the New Testament equivalent, James 5. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Again, bringing us to the illustration of the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. Listen, we need to pray over that verse. We need to ask God, I want to live this verse. I want to be patient. I want my heart to be established because I am waiting for the coming of the Lord. Because it's going to happen. It's prophesied in the Word of God. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, God said, just like he did in Acts 2, he's going to pour out his Spirit. There's going to be a supernatural outpouring. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 is the former rain. The latter rain is connected to the end of time. Has Joel declared that the sun would be turned into darkness and the moon into blood? Again, for reference sake, Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. I am believing God. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the outpouring. And I'm believing God of what he's doing around the world, what he's doing in Africa, in Latin America. Istanbul, Turkey was on the news just this week with the attempted overthrow of the government. Pastor Dale Yurton, I'll be with him in Louisville at our annual ministers conference in a couple of weeks. He traveled there because there is a large group of pastors. We're talking a Muslim country. Large group of pastors. And he traveled there to minister to them, to teach them, to encourage them. Was at a missions convention in April. And he requested prayer. He said, I cannot divulge where I'm going because of the nature of the trip itself. We know now because he's back. But he traveled to Istanbul, Turkey, to minister to former Muslims who have not only been born again, but have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. Come on. Amen. Somebody ought to shout. Filled with the Holy Spirit. On fire for God. Winning Muslims under the very threat of death. Doing it secretly and winning Muslims to Christ. Hallelujah. And they're turning to Christ by the multitudes. Because Islam cannot provide forgiveness. Islam cannot provide freedom and liberty from sin. And people are finding the emptiness. They are seeing the emptiness of it. And they hear the gospel preached. And again, whenever we preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit, He's moving every day. And He shows up. But there's sometimes when He moves extraordinarily. And we are seeing those times. I was greatly encouraged as I got that copy of Charisma magazine and to see that front cover of the awesome revival that is taking place in the Latin American countries. I love to go to Guatemala. I love to go to Honduras. I have another invitation to go to Peru. And I love to travel in these places and see what God is doing around the world, because it is phenomenal. It is incredible, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I remember doing meetings in Honduras years ago, and the building where we were doing services, I mean, there were dogs and chickens walking across the front of the altar. I said, now you don't see that every day in America. Dogs and chickens. I might put Pokemon at the altar to get somebody down to the altar here today. Everybody's looking for Pokemon. He's right here. Whatever it takes. Amen. Whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what the prophetic word is telling you, my friends? Do you understand that prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, that there is going to be a supernatural explosion of a move of God? And is the United States going to be left out of that? I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. I believe that God is going to once again move over this nation, move in this country, and we are going to see a last days revival. Here's the last thing. The last days revival will be another Pentecost type of outpouring that will usher in one last great harvest of souls into the kingdom before Christ returns. Revelation chapter 14 says, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud, that's Jesus, he thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. That's a prophetic occurrence that is yet to take place. And my friends, you and I are called to be a part of it. He did not save us just to look pretty on Sunday mornings. He saved us to engage us. And He engages us in the work. And can I tell you that if you would put me on your prayer list, my anointing will be greater. If you'll pray for me every day, pray for, because listen, we as pastors, we face battles. We fight the same spirit of temptation that you fight. The devil's been after me for 40 years, ever since the moment that I said in 1976, when I said yes to Jesus, he's been trying to get me back ever since. And he don't stop. He don't take juicy fruit breaks. He keeps with his assault. But thank God that the power of the Holy Ghost is more awesome, is better, and far superior than anything in the devil's arsenal.